But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with House Republicans threatening federal judges who rule against their dear leader. Move on to the thankless Veep's adventures in colonizing Greenland. And follow all of that up with a bit of How Fucked Up is Fucked Up, Pete Hegseth edition. Let's begin, shall we? As of the recording of this show, we are 69 days into the dumbest authoritarian takeover of the United States ever. It feels like it's been a lot longer, but I guess perception of time gets distorted as our 248-year experiment into democracy comes to a grinding halt.
The suspense is terrible. He's gonna go this time. I hope it'll last.
For example, this year's White House Easter egg roll, a tradition that dates all the fucking way back to 1878 and then President Rutherford B. Hayes, the same rat bastard who decided to end Reconstruction in the South because it had been a whole 12 years since the Civil War ended, and surely those succeeding states had learned a lesson about how African slaves are people, not things. A move that may be linked to the obviously coded we're getting rid of DEI phase that we find ourselves in 160 years later. But I digress. As far as the White House traditional Easter egg roll is concerned, now that the tiny-handed grifter is in charge, this year's festivities may be brought to you by Coca-Cola, Chevron, and Airbnb.
The annual Easter egg roll may be looking for some corporate sponsors. A guide first obtained by CNN describes how potential sponsors can get in on deals. These packages that they're selling could start at $75,000. Potential partners would be able to brand an area or activity if the holiday event. They could also put logos on event signs and be mentioned in social media posts.
Ugh. I cannot believe that I'm about to defend a Jesus mythology played out in the front lawn of our secular nation's home base, but here we are. First off, the whole fucking thing was funded by egg farmers because, duh, and any cash raised was donated to the White House Historical Association. So the broke-ass billionaire slumping over his snot-coated Resolute desk for daily photo ops thought to himself, why should history get all that sweet, sweet egg money when the entire event could be marketed to the highest bidder? Complete with a swag bag described as little by the people planning the event, of course. But who cares when your kids get to walk around with a Jiffy Lube branded basket to collect their Easter eggs while you watch the be bestest first lady ever pretend that she's eating lunch to the invite only brunch that you paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to attend. Meanwhile, in the ketchup-stained White House, the quarter-pounder president is complaining about not getting a full-throttled apology from the governor of Maine.
Not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one.
That heated exchange happened about a month ago when Governor Janet Mills visited the White House for a National Governors Association meeting. President Donald Trump called out Mills for not complying with his executive order banning transgender athletes from playing in women's and girls' sports. Today, President Trump posted to Truth Social stating Mills needs to apologize for that interaction. He wrote, quote, "We need a full-throated apology from the governor herself and a statement that she will never make such an unlawful challenge to the federal government again."
2 days later.
Well, Governor Janet Mills is not apologizing.
On Tuesday, Governor Mills responded to the president's demand.
I read the Constitution. The Constitution says that the president, the chief executive, shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. It doesn't allow him to make laws out of whole cloth by tweet or Instagram post or press release or executive order. That's just fundamental law, and I stand for the rule of law and the separation of powers.
President Trump also said in his post the state of Maine has apologized, but it's not clear what apology he's referring to and from whom exactly.
Yeah, because this sack of moldy oranges running our country is a very sad individual. He demands an apology, doesn't get it, and yet claims victory in the most pathetic middle school bully way possible, as if no one can hear Maine Governor Janet Mills when she speaks or doesn't. Because I don't know for a fact that emasculated Dawn tunes all female voices out and thinks no one else can hear them either. I just know it's true. And not for nothing, but that short bus special kind of way Crimes the Clown ignores anything he doesn't like, or just because it's coming out of a woman's mouth or a DEI hire. It's also how he treats those federal judges, you know, that rule against him. Isn't that right, Speaker Flaccid Johnson?
We do have authority over the federal courts, as you know. We can eliminate an entire district court. We have power funding over the courts and all these other things. But desperate times call for desperate measures, and Congress is going to act. So stay tuned for that.
So what impotent Johnson is saying there is that since he's got the cash and some federal judges have the audacity to rule in accordance with federal law and not the whim of a 300-pound man-child, this alleged grinder aficionado running the House is going to stop paying the bills until federal judges stop trying to uphold the rule of law. Got it. And you know, this totally tracks. Now that Americans are paying attention to the fact that people are disappearing from their apartments, their place of work, heck, even walking down the street.
Outside Boston, when a PhD student and Fulbright scholar at Tufts University, Rumeysa Ozturk, in this country on a student visa from Turkey, totally legal, obviously, had just left her apartment. When she's approached by a guy in a dark hoodie and hat who then grabs her hands, she is quickly surrounded by half a dozen, I guess, cops, all in street clothes, covering their faces with masks. They take her cell phone. They physically remove her backpack. She is then handcuffed as a bystander films and asks how anyone is supposed to know these people are police.
Is covering your faces? You want to take those masks off? Is this a kidnapping? Yeah, you don't look like it. Why are you hiding your faces?
The masked police lead the terrified woman to their unmarked vehicles and drive off. An attorney for Ozturk released a statement earlier today saying, in part, we are unaware of her whereabouts and have not been able to contact her. No charges have been filed against her to date that we are aware of. According to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainee locator, she is currently being held in the South Louisiana ICE Processing Center. Today, the Department of Homeland Security said in a statement that investigations found Ozturk engaged in activities in support of Hamas. The activities she is accused of seem to be that she co-wrote an editorial in the Tufts school newspaper that was published a year ago today, writing, quote, "We affirm the equal dignity and humanity of all people," specifically referencing Palestinians, going on to quote the author James Baldwin and challenging the university president to, quote, "acknowledge the Palestinian genocide and embrace efforts by students to evaluate diverse and sometimes contradictory ideas and opinions."
Okay, so writing an op-ed calling for equality, dignity, humanity for all people is apparently a bridge too far for the Trump regime. So they are sending icy SS soldiers complete with masks for plausible deniability. And these people, all driving black-tinted Cadillac SUVs or Dodge Chargers, because how else are you going to sneak up on an unsuspecting PhD graduate then showing up in the most douchey wheels since the swastika car or the gimpy brother, the Cybertruck? And let's not forget that the detention center that they sent this woman to is also where ICE took another victim last week that they kidnapped. Green card holding soon-to-be father, whose only crime was standing up with other Columbia University pro-Palestinian protesters last year. Now, is being held without communication from his lawyer, his wife, or anyone who isn't Kristi Noem, who's looking for a white supremacist backdrop for her next DHS video, And while all of this is deplorable, here comes Secretary of Disaster anchor Baby Rubio saying whatever he thinks will keep his boss from realizing his parents didn't become U.S. citizens until after he and his siblings were born on U.S. soil. Roll tape.
We revoked her visa. It's an F-1 visa, I believe. We revoked it, and here's why. If you apply for a visa to enter the United States and be a student, and you tell us that the reason why you're coming to the United States is not just because you want to write op-eds, but because you want to participate in movements that are involved in doing things like vandalizing universities, harassing students, taking over buildings, creating a ruckus, we're not going to give you a visa. If you lie to us and get a visa and then enter the United States and with that visa participate in that sort of activity, we're going to take away your visa. And once you've lost your visa, you're no longer legally in the United States, and we have a right, like every country in the world has a right, to remove you from our country.
If only the same laws applied to your parents. But since 77.2 million Americans are racist AF, we're dealing with the systematic silencing of people who are in this country legally because the Trump regime doesn't want to piss off their good friend, the Israeli prime nutbag. What with all that new seaside resort development plans going on for the Gaza Strip, once all the residents are relocated or removed by body bag. Can't be allowing those pesky pro-Palestinian protesters to just speak out against genocide whenever they fucking want to, especially when you're withholding federal funding to Colombia unless they rat out any foreign-born students who were dumb enough to think free speech applied to them. Silly legally here migrants. Saying whatever you want is for white Americans. A point American-born rep from Texas, Jasmine Crockett, recently learned after she dared to say what she really thinks about the South African dipshit ruining our government. And the way people all over the world happen to be responding.
Truly here for very selfish reasons, starting with on March 29th, it's my birthday. And all I want to see happen on my birthday is for Elon to be taken down. Yes.
Many, many unbearable moments later.
Now you have this Congresswoman Crockett who is calling for attacks on Elon Musk on her birthday. Let's take him out. Well, she is an elected public official, and so she needs to tread very carefully because nothing will happen to Elon Musk, and we're going to fight to protect all of it's this basic safety. Once again, domestic terrorism is going to come to a stop in our country.
The next day.
But because they are trying to twist our words, one of the things that I told people to do is make sure you are adhering to the laws in your area. Make sure you know what it looks like to protest. And what we see is that they want to dull our free speech rights. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see that Elon Musk, that his money as it relates to Tesla, well, Tesla's tanking right now. And I'm okay with that. So I just want to say that I have never promoted violence whatsoever, yet I've also never made excuse for those violent actors such as the ones on January 6th. So Pam Bondi, if you have an issue with terrorism, maybe you should talk to your boss about locking back up those guys that he let out that participated in January 6th.
And there you have it, folks. Another drop the mic moment from the ever quick with a quip, making all kinds of sense as usual, Ms. Jasmine Crockett. The same woman who brought us a more accurate way of describing the only Jewish space laser expert from Georgia.
Somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body.
That hilarious clip will always be chef's kiss. And while we're on the subject of hilariously stupid people, did you know that Mascara Vance and his token wife made an uninvited trip to Greenland recently? Well, at first, it was just going to be Usha Vance visiting the colonizer-in-chief's wet dream vacay destination spot. But then, her garbage pail kid of a husband decided he would come along for the ride, and that pissed off everyone in Greenland.
Vice President J.D. Vance now says he will join a delegation visiting Greenland. President Trump has said he wants the U.S. to own the island.
Greenland is a Danish territory, and the Danish prime minister says the trip by Vice President Vance tomorrow is putting, quote, unacceptable pressure on the island. They'll visit a U.S. military base for a briefing on Arctic security. Usha Vance had planned to travel to the island only for a cultural visit, but plans changed when her husband announced he's joining her.
The whole purpose of this visit is to make a connection with the people of Greenland, to learn more about what's there.
The hosts in Greenland are not very welcoming today. The visit to a sled dog race was canceled. Retail shops have not cooperated with advanced staff.
Namely, that if they had come here to Nuuk as planned tomorrow, they would have been met with riots, demonstrations, and a massive police presence simply to ensure their own safety. They realized that they were not wanted here. American representatives have been going around, practically knocking on one door after another in the past few days, to ask if they would like to be visited by the vice president's wife. And everywhere the answer was the same, no. And that's why the plans have been changed.
The president said today that we have to have Greenland. By being here today, are you also conveying that message that the U.S. is very serious in its desire to acquire Greenland?
Well, the president said we have to have Greenland, and I think that we do have to be more serious about the security of Greenland. We can't just ignore this place. We can't just ignore the president's desires.
Oh, yeah, we can't have the invasion Don's desires go unfulfilled now, can we? Thankfully, the people of Greenland gave Eyeliner Vance and his wife the welcome they deserved as soon as they landed, which was actually just locals holding signs that said clever messages like, we're not for sale and Yankee, go home. And not for nothing, but J.D. Wentworth wasn't wearing a suit the entire time he was in Greenland. I mean, does he even own a suit? Doesn't he show respect? And did he say thank you while he was there? Of course not. The Stay Puft generic man with a beard instead cosplayed as Zelensky during the visit, which lasted a total of 4 hours. That is right, kiddies. Taxpayers like you and me, and even undocumented immigrants, which is why ICE is partnering with the IRS to find more non-criminals to deport, paid a whopping undisclosed tens of millions of dollars to send the Vice Pudge and his token to a place no one wanted them. And sure, for the Ohio shillbilly, this is no different than anywhere else he goes. But now it's another however many millions wasted on photo ops that weren't even there because no one on the island wanted them there. And why they did not tour the island, but rather hung out for a couple of hours at a U.S. military installment. Because again, no one wanted them there. Think about that. And while you're pondering why in the fuck we're wasting so much money on colonizer bullshit, the rest of the world is wondering how they can ever trust the United States with secrets when our new DUI hire for Defense Secretary is spilling the beans on messaging apps.
The editor-in-chief of The Atlantic says President Trump's top national security officials accidentally included him on a text chain discussing classified war plans.
About an attack in Yemen on a publicly available messaging app.
On the commercial message app Signal, and inadvertently including journalist Jeffrey Goldberg on that chain.
The president's national security team apparently using personal phones to talk about war planning. And one of the members of the chat group, according to the timeline, was in Russia at the time.
On that text chain, there were big names like Vice President J.D. Vance. There was the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, starting to talk about bombing the Houthis in Yemen.
In the group chat, Pete Hegseth shared war plans, including precise information about weapons packages, targets, and timing.
And after those bombs did drop, the chain started celebrating, saying things like, good job, Pete, to you and your team, Mike Waltz. The team in Mao did a great job, great work.
And after this is all said and done, I don't want to ever hear, but what about her emails, ever again. So for exposition purposes, Editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, was minding his own business on March 11th when he got a notice from National Security Advisor Mike Walls that he was now part of a chat group on Signal with a bunch of Trump's other cabinet members. Then on March 14th, the Signal chat blew up, pun intended, with all sorts of shit like Jessica Dumas-Vance complaining about Europeans being pathetic freeloaders, which is insulting enough coming from a guy who's never met a love seat he didn't want to love. But then on March 15th at 11:44 a.m., the good stuff started coming through. Whiskey Leaks himself, Pete Hegseth, started dropping the deets on actual war plans that would be carried out just a few hours later.
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time.
I just was with the president in the Oval Office just now. The administration is addressing what happened. Apparently, an inadvertent phone number made it onto that thread. They're going to track that down and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
The president defended Michael Waltz, the national security advisor who created this group chat. He told me Waltz is a good man who he thinks has learned a lesson here in all of this.
Even if everything The Atlantic reported is true, it's the president's advisors discussing among themselves options they might recommend to the president.
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
Really, Pete Drunkseth, that is the hill that you're going to die on? Because if this is the case, that the detailed account of the attacks that ended up happening exactly as you described them in the Signal chat is just a coinkydink, then I guess Goldberg did the right thing in releasing the secret but somehow not classified war plans to the public after being called a liar by you and your boss. Because the reaction of the DUI defense secretary gave to explain how he did not divulge war plans is giving logically inept.
Nobody's texting war plans. Well, I noticed this morning out came something that doesn't look like war plans. And as a matter of fact, they even changed the title to attack plans because they know it's not war plans. You know who sees war plans? I see them every single day. I looked at them this morning. I looked at attack plans this morning. Our general in CENTCOM, they do attack plans and war plans. My job, as it said atop of that, everybody's seen it now, team update, is to provide updates in real time.
Seriously, this is why you don't hire Fox Not a News Channel hosts for anything but hosting on Fox Not a News Channel. Because seriously, did he come up with all that shit on his own? Because that's some of the dumbest crap I have ever heard. And I cover politics for a living. So according to Captain Whiskey Sips, attack plans and war plans are not the same thing. Unless you are the U.S. military coming up with those plans, and then the word attack and war are interchangeable. Even on plans Pete the Pumpkin Muncher looks at every single day. But when it comes to his own text in a group chat on Signal, when Petey Hawksweat writes, attack plans, those aren't war plans, folks, regardless of how accurate his descriptions of scenarios like drone strikes followed by 30 minutes later an F-18 plane actually happening. But then again, do we expect it to make sense? Or how about that time that Pete cannot keep a secret, Hegseth, brought his wife to a meeting with the UK's Secretary of Defense at the Pentagon and discussed in front of her withdrawing US intelligence from Ukraine? Oh, and then there's the other time Petey brought his wife to work for a meeting at NATO headquarters in Berlin. where the topic of discussion was, who guess it, whether or not to support Ukraine. Definitely not the place to have your wife hanging out while you talk about highly classified and sensitive information, but what do I know? I'm a civilian. Especially when the guy who should not be a national security advisor of anything, and the one who invited the Atlantic journalist to the Signal chat in the first place, is peddling stupid theories even Laura Ingraham has trouble following.
But how did a Trump-hating editor of The Atlantic end up on your Signal chat?
It's embarrassing, right. Yes. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I just talked to Elon on the way here, but I don't text him. He wasn't on my phone. I built the group. My job is to make sure everything's coordinated.
But how did I don't mean to be pedantic here, but how did the number?
Have you ever had somebody's contact that shows their name, and then you have somebody else's number there?
Oh, I never make those mistakes.
Right? You got somebody else's number on someone else's contact. So of course I didn't see this loser in the group.
What in the boomer excuse for doing the thing unqualified people do is this guy yammering about? No, sir, no. No one keeps someone's phone contact information under a different name unless you're the House Speaker Grinder Johnson, who doesn't want to get caught allegedly hooking up with dudes when you've worked so hard on your Ned Flanders impression and convincing the rest of us that sharing a porn watching alert app with your teenage son is not at all weird or nightmare fuel. And another thing, we get that elderly Julius didn't know Signal was an app and thought the actual signal to these people's cell phones was bad. But the rest of us know how a group chat is created, how people are invited, and that...
You done messed up, Aaron!
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.